The Buck Sexton Show.
When our water heater broke down last month, it was a nightmare. It took 5 hours for the plumber to show up, and he charged us a couple of $100 just to come out. Then it cost another $1,800 to put in the new water heater. By the time it was all said and done, I felt like I'd been taken. But what else could I do?
The smartest thing you can do is get a home warranty from American Residential Warranty. Their home warranties pay to repair or replace all your major appliances when they break. And they will break. And at the worst possible time. Call American Residential Warranty right now for free information on home warranties starting at just pennies a day. Don't wait for your refrigerator to stop running or your ceiling fans to stop turning. Call American Residential Warranty right now. Ask how you can save up to 50% on washer and dryer coverage. Just call 1-800-686-3910. That's 1-800-686-3910. Again, 1-800-686-3910. Call now.
We are now joined by my friend Emily Eakin. She is the director of polling at the Cato Institute and also a research fellow there. Emily, thank you for calling in. Good to talk to you.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. So takeaways from the polling side of things, Emily, it seemed to me that as somebody who just reads the polls but doesn't conduct them as you do and doesn't sort of dive into the numbers, they were wrong in Iowa, but they were pretty on the money in New Hampshire with a few exceptions. What did you find with the polls that we saw versus how it all turned out?
Yes, we see that the polls in New Hampshire were more accurate, and that's partly because it's easier to poll New Hampshire because New Hampshire conducts a primary, whereas in Iowa, they do a caucus. And so it's a lot harder to poll people when, you know, so few people actually attend the 3 to 4 hour caucus that evening. People can change their minds. They can be convinced by their neighbors and so forth. So New Hampshire, we saw polls did much better, but we saw some candidates underperforming, like Marco Rubio, and some candidates overperforming, like Bernie Sanders. He actually outscored 6 points from his Real Clear politics average. I think at the end of the day, his was about, what was the final result? 60% was the final result, whereas Real Clear politics had him at 54%. Rubio underperformed by about 4%, so it was not a good night for Rubio.
So Rubio, Trump, and Kasich. Oh, sorry, Rubio underperformed, but Trump and Kasich were overperformers from the Real Politics averages I see here?
Yes, Trump overperformed by about 4 points, and Rubio underperformed by about 4 points. Now, that doesn't mean that Trump took Rubio's voters. It just means that when it came down time for election, for the election, Trump was able to mobilize his voters, and Rubio wasn't. And probably his poor debate performances and, you know, Chris Christie calling him out for sounding like a robot, repeating the same line multiple times, seems to have hurt him in this primary.
You know, Emily, last night I tweeted out, who could have guessed 10 years ago that a room full of Americans would be cheering the victory of a socialist in a presidential primary? What are we seeing about, are we seeing any change in the numbers that have consistently shown that a vast majority of Americans would not vote for a socialist for president? Are those numbers softening? Are we seeing an increase in willingness in a broad sense across the country or even just within the Democratic Party to vote for a socialist? Or is there still, I've seen the numbers for against socialists and against atheists are always well above 60%. That would never vote for one under any circumstances. It's higher than a lot of other categories that people ask about. Are we seeing a willingness to vote for a socialist?
Well, so the fact that you asked that question, I mean, it's such a good question to ask. And in fact, it is so surprising that a self-avowed socialist like Bernie Sanders is doing so well. It is so surprising that only this year have we really started asking questions to people, would you vote for a socialist? So we don't have a really good time series. It's only a couple of years old. And, you know, no, people are not that excited about supporting a candidate who describes themselves as a socialist. So, for instance, a YouGov poll conducted fairly recently found that only 4% of Americans would be enthusiastic about a socialist, and 24% would be comfortable. So still, the majority of Americans would be quite uncomfortable, very uncomfortable with a socialist running for president. The problem is that the word socialism has changed in its meaning among young people. So when Bernie Sanders calls himself a socialist, they don't think about the Soviet Union. They don't think about forced labor camps and political repression. They think about Scandinavia and a social safety net.
Right. No, it's socialism has turned into being nice to poor people and everybody gets free stuff. That's what the kids think. And they don't see that when you put the government in control of an economy, bad things could happen. They don't think of it in terms of rationing and lines for toilet paper. They think of it as free college and everyone gets to sort of live in a happy, healthy Scandinavian country. I want to ask about some of the motivations, though, that you've been diving into for various candidates, the people that are pushing for various candidates. You have a Cato podcast up on this. You know, what animates Trump voters? What animates Sanders voters?
So recently I conducted a national survey where I asked people a bunch of questions about their how they make judgments of right and wrong in their everyday lives. This is a battery of questions that have been developed by social psychologists to understand kind of the moral foundations upon which people decide what's right and wrong. So we asked a bunch of these questions on our survey and found that each of the presidential candidates, Bernie Sanders to Donald Trump to Marco Rubio, they have attracted really different types of people. So for Bernie Sanders, his supporters, they score disproportionately high on values related to empathy. So they tend to have a lot of compassion for people. They score higher on empathy, but they score very low on accountability. And so that explains, I think, a lot of his socialist economic policy. For whatever reason, you know, if you care a lot about accountability, if you want people to reap what they sow, you tend to want limited government. But if that is less important to you, then big government all the way. And Bernie Sanders, you know, speaks directly to that crowd. But something that surprised me about this is that Bernie Sanders has attracted this group of civil libertarians. It's very surprising. It's really Rand Paul, Bernie Sanders, and Ted Cruz, surprisingly, they have attracted these more libertarian-leaning voters. But for Bernie Sanders, he's got the civil libertarians. So that's different and unique. But Donald Trump, his supporters were very different from Bernie Sanders. For them, they scored low on the empathy foundation, but they scored very high on respect for authority and a tendency to value group membership. And that actually maps on pretty well to a lot of his policy proposals that have focused a lot on immigration and kind of economic nationalism.
So the Trump voters, is there this crossover that Trump and Sanders both appeal to independents? Is that actually something you're seeing in the polling? Because people talk about this. They say that there are people who say that they're either Trump or Sanders, which would seem like in Ghostbusters when they cross the streams. How could that happen, right? Trump is on the far right, Sanders is on the far left. But there do seem to be some people who are saying that they would that their one and two choice is either Trump Sanders or Sanders Trump. I've heard this anecdotally. Is the polling bearing that out?
I think what you're hearing is the angry vote. There are a lot of Americans who are so frustrated with the two-party political system, with Washington D.C., with the establishment, with the kind of crony capitalism and so forth, that they're so upset that they are just wanting to vote for anyone that they view as outside of that. So Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump definitely map onto this anti-establishment kind of populist candidate list, but their supporters don't overlap a huge amount besides that. In policies, you know, yes, Trump is actually more economically liberal. He's actually more similar to Bernie Sanders than all the other Republican candidates on that. But on culture, cultural issues, immigration, then he tends to be a little bit different. But there's definitely some overlap there.
There's definitely some overlap. All right. Well, based on the numbers, do you think that do you see anything other than a Hillary Clinton nomination for the Democrats based on the polling as you see it?
You know, a lot of people are really excited about Bernie Sanders. You know, last night, if you were kind of on Twitter or any kind of on the internet somewhere, people were saying, you know, this is a Bernie surge. You know, this is so similar to what happened in 2008, where everyone thought, oh, Obama could never win, and then he did. I don't think there are many similarities between the two elections, but I think things are different in that Bernie Sanders actually has a pretty narrow coalition. His supporters tend to be fairly homogeneous. He draws disproportionately among young people and white males, oddly enough. And it's Hillary Clinton that actually has a more diverse coalition of support diverse in terms of race, education, income, and also she draws more conservative Democrats as well as liberal Democrats. Sanders does not appeal broadly like that. So his supporters are the most enthusiastic, but it's not clear if he's going to be able to expand that when they go into South Carolina. He shows no signs of a surge in South Carolina or Nevada yet. It could happen, but we don't see it yet.
Now, one last one for you, Emily. Any predictions you're willing to offer up for what's going to happen with the GOP in South Carolina and beyond?
Oh, my gosh. I feel like the one thing we've learned from this race is don't make predictions. We're always wrong. But it looks like Donald Trump is heading in. He's number one heading into South Carolina. It's possible that he will fail to mobilize Republicans in South Carolina because we need to keep in mind New Hampshire is very different because independents can vote in the New Hampshire primary. So, of course, Trump and Kasich, who tend to draw more from independent voters, will do better. In South Carolina, Trump's not going to have that advantage. So while he is the favored candidate to win, you know, I would keep an eye on Ted Cruz. I think if anyone's to beat Donald Trump, I think it would be Ted Cruz.
All right. Emily Eakins, she's director of polling at the Cato Institute and a research fellow. Emily, thank you very much for calling and great to talk to you.
You too. Thanks for having me.
When our water heater broke down last month, it was a nightmare. It took 5 hours for the plumber to show up, and he charged us a couple of $100 just to come out. Then it cost another $1,800 to put in the new water heater. By the time it was all said and done, I felt like I'd been taken. But what else could I do?
The smartest thing you can do is get a home warranty from American Residential Warranty. Their home warranties pay to repair or replace all your major appliances when they break. And they will break. And at the worst possible time, call American Residential Warranty right now for free information on home warranties starting at just pennies a day. Don't wait for your refrigerator to stop running or your ceiling fans to stop turning. Call American Residential Warranty right now. Ask how you can save up to 50% on water. Washer and dryer coverage. Just call 1-800-686-3910. That's 1-800-686-3910. Again, 1-800-686-3910. Call now.